We're up to the last two psukim in chapter 10. The last two psukim are extremely important, and then we go into 11. Now I tell you, chapter 10 is a chapter that you should have read over 10 times during the course of the last week. Its beauty, the psukim are beautiful, the movement, there's a tremendous beat in the chapter. Unbelievable chapter. It's and certainly toward the end, when it describes the march of Sancheret toward Yerushalayim, we're talking about a victorious army with flags unfurled, and that begins in Pasuk Chavchet. Ba'alayad. Let's go back to Pasuk 10, chapter 10, Pasuk 28. You will recall that earlier on in the chapter, it describes how Ashur is so full of a sense of great pride. They're the ones who have conquered. They are the ones who have captured. They're the ones who destroyed all opposition. And he doesn't know that he's no more than a stick that is being held by the Rebbeinu. He doesn't understand that he's an axe in the hand of God. He doesn't understand that he's a saw being used by the Lord of Hosts. Have you ever heard an axe speak with conceit to the one who holds the axe? Have you ever heard of a stick turning to the one who holds it to tell, I'm holding you and carrying you? No, it's so ridiculous. He doesn't realize that he is no more than an instrument in the divine hand to bring punishment on nations of the world. But oh no, he doesn't. That's not how he sees it. What does he say? Pasuk 7. I'm just running through the chapter quickly. He doesn't think that this is so. His heart doesn't think that way. In his heart, he wants to destroy. And he wants to destroy not a small number of nations. Because he says, all of my officers can be kings of nations. He sees himself as the mighty conqueror, and he doesn't realize that he is no more than an instrument in the hand of God. And then he describes his great victories. Hallo, Karkamish, Kalno. Kalno was no different than Karkamish. Karkamish was the great battle at which he was victorious over Adam. Arpad and Hamas. What's the difference? I conquered this, I'll conquer that. Damesek, Shomron. We got it all. And therefore, ultimately, he's going to get Yerushalayim as well. He has no doubt about it at all. And then in Pasuk Yud Bet and Yud Gimel, it says that God is going to punish him for his great conceit. When God is going to carry out all that he wishes to do, which means the moment that Sancheriv, king of Ashur, has carried out the divine plan, then you know what God is going to do with him? He's not simply going to discard him. He's going to destroy him. The Hartzion of Yerushalayim, and God is going to complete that which he wishes to do in Hartzion of Yerushalayim. Ef God, I will punish al pri goda levav melech Ashur, the fruits of the great heart of the king of Ashur, al tif edet rum enav, the haughtiness of his raised eyes. He thinks that he is the great power. Kiyoma, because he said, Bekach Yadi Azizi. I did it all with my own might. Ubekach Mati, with my wisdom, King of Unalti, because I'm so full of understanding. I mean, he's so overwhelmed with his own greatness. He pushes, breaks his arm, patting himself on the back. Vasir Kvulot Amim. I will remove the boundaries of nations. Va'atu Dotehem. Shoseti, and their otsarot, their treasure houses, I have robbed va'odid kabir yoshima, and I'm going to bring down the mighty who live in all of these countries. And then there's nobody who opens up a mouth against me. At the end of the next passage, the low hoyon no date come off. Nobody moves his wings, upotze peh umitzavtzeif. Nobody says a word. because the awesome power, the military-industrial complex, the machine of Asher. So then, that great pasuk tetzvav hayit poer hagarzen al achotepo. Can the axe be haughty against the one who chops with it? Of course not. If yit gadel amasar al nivo, can the saw consider itself greater than the one who lifts it? So therefore, pasuk tetzayin he says, I'm going to thin him out, and I'm going to consume him, and he's going to be destroyed by the light of Israel. The holiness of Israel will be a flame that's going to destroy them, etc., etc. And then let's get the Pasuk Chaf Chet 28 again, and here comes the great march. The great march, and a number of the psukim here are very. I just want to read from the Daf Mikra as we go through them. Balayat. Here's the march. He comes to against a city called Balayat. Balayat. Where am I here? Balayat. He comes against Ayat Ovar b'Migron. He passes through Migron l'Michmas Yafkid Kelov. He's not going to take all of his supplies with him, so he sets up a supply dump, and that's going to be at Michmas Yafkid. There he puts in safekeeping Kelov. Where is Ayat? Before I'm not sure where Ayat is. There are those. Not all of these places are north of Yerushalayim, but we have to see them in order. There are those who say that Ayat may be was near Bet El. So in other words, we're starting from Bet El and we're moving down. He's smuchal Bet El, 15 kilometers north of Yerushalayim. So he comes to Ayat, 15 kilometers north of Yerushalayim. Then he passes through Migron, which is right near Michmas. Michmas, we know where it is, and then the Michmas Yafkid Kelov, that we know exactly where it is. That's already 8 kilometers northeast of Yerushalayim. Okay? I mean, it's amazing to be able to learn Psukim in Tanakh, 2.5. We have to have a tea. Did my wife put you up to this? I said it 2 years ago. Yes, she's always after me to have a tiyul. Okay, Vela, together with Kim, can I appoint the two of you to organize a tiyul for us right after Pesach? Okay, we retracing the steps of Sancheriv. That would be a pretty unique one. Okay, but we can start at Shiloh, Vela. Start a little north at Shiloh, then come down to Bet El, and follow. No, I'm serious. It's easier to give in than to.
It's not so easy.
In these days, you know how we will do it? We will do it in an autobus, Mugan Neged Yeri. Understand? My friend from Bet El calls me last night and says, well, you gotta see my Shachpats. And then he got his place of work gave him a.
It weighs about 30 pounds.
That's right. It's unbelievable. A shachmatz is a bulletproof vest, but it's only good against M16s and Kalashnikovs. Lao missiles, I think, will make their way through. So it's unbelievable the world in which we live. I mean, have you seen the advertisements in the newspapers? The models holding male models. Wearing different colored shachpatzim, you can get them now for children. Children's shachpatzim in all sorts of really beautiful colors with flowers on them. What do you know? Yeah, the situation has created a business. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not Purim. All right. Valayat of Abba Mikron, the Mikmasiyav Kitkelov, of Rum Ma'abara, they cross Ma'abara. Ma'abara is. Just below Michmas, Geva, the place called Geva, Malon was the place where we will stay overnight. Chardah Rama. Rama is Rama. Rama. The Dat Mikra says, Yesh Omrim, there are those who say that Rama is a kfar, the kfar, the village, Aram, that is north of Yerushalayim, and there are those who say that it is Ramallah. Alright, so now we have moved down, we have moved down. Givat Shaul, this was the one that, amazing, Shuafat. Givat Shaul was on the site that is now Shuafat. And there are going to be a number of other places. Shuafat seemed to have been a larger area. And then it says, Sahali Koler Bad Galim, call out with your voice. And we're talking about a call of fear and terror. Hakshivi Laisha, listen, Laish, Ania Anatot, Anatot. Answer to, respond to the attack. And all of them are approximately 5 kilometers north of Yerushalayim. We've moved from about 15, and you said Givat Sarfatit, that's no.
Anatot is right behind Givat Sarfatit.
Right behind Givat, that's Anta, that's right. They call
that's
it
right.
Anta,
that's right.
So no, that is 5 kilometers north of what Yerushalayim was. In other words, we're talking about Yerushalayim, meaning the old city. Nadadam Madmena. Here already we're moving into Givat Sarfatit and Ramat Eshkol. Nadadon Madmeina Yoshvei HaGevim HeIzu Od Hayom B'Nov Lamod. Let's see, do they say where Nov is? Yeah, we said here it also says Smudim Shehi Shuafat O Atur. O Atur Mitzafon Yerushalayim is Nov. Anyway, and there it is. Od Hayom. Alright, this is where we're starting now. And as we pointed out last week, this is where the Haftorah for the 8th day of Pesach in Chutz Laaretz begins. And the Haftorah, or the reading from the Navi that we read on Yom HaTzmud. Od Hayom B'Nov La'amod. He says, today we're going to make it to Nov. And then when he gets to Nov, you know, Faith Yado Har Bat Zion, he waves his hand against the mountain of Bat Zion, Givat Yerushalayim, the hill of Yerushalayim. By calling it Har Bat Zion and Givat Yerushalayim, he seems to be denigrating it like this is the big metropolis. I mean, it's garnish with garnish. It doesn't come to Carchemish or to Damascus and all of the rest. And as I pointed out, his astrologers told him, press the attack today, because tomorrow we're not sure what's going to happen, and he rejects their pleas. Huh? I was going to explain it? You mean I got myself into trouble? What was I going to explain?
Why the difference if Hashem was not going to let him conquer it? Why would he let him conquer it on that day and not the next day?
Well, in other words, what would have happened if he would have attacked that night?
Right, in other words,
if he would have attacked that night.
Right.
I don't have a clue. By the way, no, I do have a clue. I know precisely what would have happened. If he would have attacked that night, he would have been crushed that night at the entrance to Yerushalayim. And how do I know that? Why aren't you concerned to ask me the question, how do I know that? Because later on, in chapter 36 and 37, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Chizkiyo through Yeshayahu, Lo Yoresh Sham Chetz, he's not going to shoot an arrow toward Yerushalayim. He's going to be crushed at whatever time, whatever day, at whatever moment. The man will not have Yerushalayim. You can't outflank God. The decision has been made that the man is not going to set foot in Yerushalayim. The decision has already been made that he's going to be crushed at the gates to Yerushalayim. So what you really want me to explain, I started to say you wanted me to explain his astrologers. You know what his astrologers are really telling him? His astrologers are really telling him one thing. Tomorrow you will not conquer Yerushalayim. The Rambam says about astrology and all of these other means of foreseeing the future, there can occasionally be some truth to it. Why can there occasionally be some truth to it? Because sometimes you can guess. No? Like there are polls who said Sharon will win, and there might have been polls that said, you know, that in the last 5 days Barack is going to move ahead of Sharon. I mean, they're guessing. And whenever we have people guessing, they guess right and they guess wrong. For all I know, it may very well be the astrologers who are telling him, press the advantage. You've marched today on all of these places. We're on a roll. Let's take Yerushalayim now. So what it means is, they may have guessed right. And what they're telling him is, if you strike while the iron is hot, then you're going to do it. Tomorrow, we don't know. There doesn't have to be any degree of truth. It may be a strategic decision that's couched in astrological terms, but there's no question about it in the world. Regardless of when Sancheriv is going to attack Yerushalayim, he's going to be crushed at the gates of Yerushalayim. Tonight, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, yesterday, it doesn't make any difference. So don't take the astrologers too seriously. I knew you were thinking about, it's amazing how much you say it. You're thinking about Mitzrayim. Because I knew you were thinking about Mitzrayim. That's why, because the astrologers of Mitzrayim, what did they tell him? Ra'ah neged p'neichem, there's evil stalking you out there. So, you know, they may have some kind of a fuzzy message. There may even have been, they didn't understand at all. They didn't really know. The truth is that they didn't really know. By water, right? Mayim, water, so then it happened. In other words, it means there can be some fuzzy message. And you know what? I wouldn't be a bit surprised that there are times that the Rebbeinu Shlom sends this message just to confuse them. But there's no truth to it. Said a shiur on the Megillah last night. The shiur that I say in the morning, then I say it again by the men, and then it reaches its final, form at the end of the day at night. So I just threw in something over there. The Gemara says that Esther was written Beruach HaKodesh. Esther was not just a book that was written, regardless of what may be said in the Jerusalem Post today, but that it was written Beruach HaKodesh. And the Gemara asks, Haminayin, how do we know that Esther was written Beruach HaKodesh? And the Gemara gives a number of answers. The first answer that the Gemara gives is, because it says in the Megillah, that night that Haman presents himself before Ahasuerus, he's come to ask Ahasuerus for permission to hang Mordechai on the gallows that he has prepared. That's the night that the king can't sleep because he's all confused. He doesn't know what's happening. And he's going through his book of Chronicles. And he says to Haman, what should the king do to a man whom he wishes to give honor and glory to? So the Megillah says, Vayomer Haman Belibo. And Haman said in his heart. And Rashi says, Mino Yadu, how did they know what was going on in his heart? So obviously it was written Beruach HaKodesh. So I say from this Gemara, from this passage in the Megillah, we know that the Supreme Court of the State of Israel has Ruach HaKodesh, because the Supreme Court paskin that Margalit Harshefi should go to jail. Why does she go to jail? Because they have said, by Vatoma Margalit Harshefi, Beliba, in her heart she knew that Yigal Amir was going to kill Rabin, and therefore she has to be sent to jail. So we see that Ruach HaKodesh is in that building over there. Sorry, this was a joke.
Understand? I'm laughing.
Yeah.
I am laughing.
That was a joke. In other words, 5 years, she's already had two trials and an appeal. And Avishai Raviv, nothing yet. Trial was supposed to start 2 weeks ago. It's been put off in June. 5 years, and he hasn't even come to trial once. And everybody knows that he knew that Yigal Amir thought he was going to kill her out. This is the justice in this country. By Yomer Bagatz Belipo, you understand? They know exactly what was going on. why did I say this all together? What got me into this?
Astrology.
So therefore, Rambam says that there's really no truth to it at all. If anything, it's simply a matter of anybody who makes predictions. So you don't have to be wrong all of the time. The Rambam says a person who makes predictions, at times, the prediction can come out right. You know, there are people who invest in stocks, so it's true that 90% of the time they lose everything, but 10% of the time the law of averages is that you win a little bit. That's all that's happening over here. It's nothing to be taken seriously. If he would have attacked that night, he would have been crushed just as he was crushed during the middle of the night. Now, okay, let's go. Hinei ha'adon Hashem Tzvakot, the master, Hashem Tzvakot, the God of hosts. Not often do we have all of these titles going together, because here we're talking the master, and Rashi says, Balayla ha'hu, that night, Balayla ha'hu, that night. That night, the master of Eretz Yisrael, the master of the world, Hashem Tzvakot, how have we always described Hashem Tzvakot? The God who is the commander-in-chief of the forces of the world. Misa'ef pura bima aratza. Three words. Misa'ef means he will cut off. Pura. Pura means beautiful branches. Bima aratza. Ma'aratza is an instrument of destruction or cutting. Because remember, a few psukim earlier, they had been describing the forces of Ashur as cedars of Lebanon, great mighty trees, a forest of soldiers. So if that's the metaphor that is being used, so therefore the destruction is described as the cutting and the chopping down of trees. And where does the chopping begin? It begins at Pura. Pura is the top of the tree, the magnificent, majestic top of the tree. Misa'ef comes from the word, it can come from the word anaf, but what's fascinating about this word, and we've once discussed this, I think we said a share on it, there are words in Hebrew that mean one thing and precisely its opposite. Yeah. For example, shodesh, or lahashrish, means to get something to take root. Lesharesh means to uproot. Misa'if is the same kind of word. Etsi'if, si'ifeha, is a word that means her branches, her beautiful branches. Misa'if means to remove the branches. And to remove which branches? Pull off the beautiful, the pe'er of the tree. And it's going to be done with ma'aratza. Ma'aratza is a sharp instrument. In a sense, it comes from the word a dictator is an aritz, mighty. He's going to cut down the tree that is Ashur. Verome hakoma. Those whose height is high, exalted, big, tall trees representing mighty military leaders. Giduim. Are chopped down. The Hagivohim, and now the pasuk really explains what it means. Those who are high, Yishpalu, will be cast down. The Nikaf Sivichei Hayar Barzel. The Nikaf also means to remove. Nokev Zayit, it's used with regard to removing, harvesting olives. The Nikaf Sivichei Hayar. Sivchei Hayar are the branches of the forest that are intertwined with one another. They're going to be cut by barzel with metal. V'halavanon. What better describes a mighty forest than halavanon? Halavanon ba'adir yipol is going to fall in a great, tremendous manner. Now, of all things, Rashi on the Levanon says Ba'adir. Rashi says Tupshatim on Ba'adir. The mighty one is going to bring them down. You know who the mighty one is? The angel of God who's going to descend during the course of the night upon the camp of Ashur. And Rashi says a second pshat, Dovracher, Ba'adir, the mighty one, is Bishut Chizkiyahu. In the Schut of Chizkiyahu, Shehu Adiram Umoshlam Shel Yisrael, he is the mighty ruler of Israel. That's Chizkiyahu. Because of his schut, they're going to be crushed. Now, of all things, here comes chapter 11. We talked during the course of one shiur last year about chapter 11 of Yeshayahu. Chapter 11 of Yeshayahu is most probably one of the most famous chapters in all of Tanakh. And not only do we have to understand the chapter, we have to understand what the chapter is doing here. What is this chapter doing here? Chapter 11 is going to be the classic description of King Mashiach and what the days of Mashiach are going to be like. We're going to have over here the description of the lamb is going to lie down with the whoever, you know, we'll learn the Pesukim. What's it doing here? And what does it mean? I mean, this is the classic chapter from which everything, the Gemara, the Sanhedrin, the Rambam, everybody describes Mashiach and what the Messianic era is going to be. Everything is based on chapter 11 of Yeshayahu. Any other place in Tanakh may be added information, but this is the source. So we have to understand what is it doing here. But before we do that, by the way, we're also going to have to look at each and every word, nearly. Each and every word is going to have tremendous significance. Here, this is something that has a lot of positive fallout. So first, let's at least get a picture of the chapter. V'yotza choter migeza Yishai. A shoot is going to come out. Yotza choter migeza Yishai. Geza is the trunk of a tree. You will see a tree that's been cut down, and then from the trunk will come out shoots from which eventually a new tree is going to grow. By the way, of course, remember, in the chapter 4, forests and trees were used as the metaphor for the mighty army of Sanherev, and its destruction is the chopping down, the cutting down of these mighty trees. And now in comparison to the mighty Levonon that we talked about in the pasuk before, we're now talking about a lowly trunk of a tree. It may be no more than a few inches above the ground. And from this geza comes out a shoot. The netzer. Netzer is also something that grows out. Also a form of a twig. A twig. Mishoroshov yifre. Now, there's a difference between shodesh and geza. Shodesh is all beneath ground. The roots are beneath ground. Geza, at least there's something above ground. There's a trunk there. There's a stump. There's a stump. Now, in other words, this describes really two possibilities. The second possibility in the pasuk is it may very well be that any probability or any indication or any evidence of the return of a Davidic dynasty, Malchus based on it, you can't see it. It's completely covered beneath the ground, but you should know that the roots are down there. And the moment in history is going to come that from those roots will come a new tree. There is also the possibility, at moments in history, there's the possibility that, well, there's a stump above ground. A stump above ground represents that, you know, there are people from the kingdom of David around. It may be a lowly kingdom, but it's here, and that lowly kingdom is going to develop new life. And we'll see what the two possibilities mean. And you know what's going to happen to this Choter? Is there one of the big lawyers in this country is Choter? Dror Choter Yishai. You should know that he got honorable mention over there. V'yotza choter migeza Yishai. Well, Yishai is bichlal an important name now. Especially if your first name is Eli, you understand. Okay. The name Eli can be important because we have another Eli in our building. Eli Yishai lives across the street, but Eli Swizzle lives in our building. I'm not sure yet what star he's going to be. He's gonna, well, I'm happy I didn't go into politics. I have no protection whatsoever. I don't want any protection. The Nocha Olav on this Choter and this Geza, right now we don't know that it's a human being, but in the second pasuk we find out that this shoot and that twig that is growing out upon him will come to rest. The Nocha Olav that will rest upon him, Ruach Hashem, the Spirit of God, Ruach Chochma Upino, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Ruach Eitza Ukura, a spirit of counsel. In other words, he has good ideas, and Ugevura, he has the might and the strength to carry it out. People can have great Eitzas, but cannot always be the ones who are going to implement it all. But he has both Eitza Ukura, Ruach Das, the spirit of knowledge, Yirat Hashem, and the fear of God. Oh, this is a jam-packed buzzing that we'll have to go over each word. If you want to ask somebody, where do you have the same word five times in a pasuk? How many times do you have the word ruach over here in the pasuk? I think it should be five times. One, two, three, four. Four? Oh, four. All right. Okay, four. V'haricho b'yirat Hashem. Haricho, what it really means is he's going to be full of Yirat Hashem, the fear of God. And Chazal say on this that he's going to have a very finely honed sense of justice. And the Gemara even goes so far as to say, V'haricho, with the smell, L'hariach, you know, from the word Reach Nichoach, he's going to be able to smell where justice lies. He would have just stood next to Tzachi Hanegbi 3 years ago, and he would have known immediately that the man is innocent. He could smell it. A finely honed sense, unknown in the world, but Mashiach's going to have it. He's going to know who you go after, where there is injustice and where there isn't. V'lo l'mara einav yishpot. He's not going to have to judge on the basis of what his eyes see. V'lo l'mishma oznov yochiach. And he's not going to admonish people on the basis of what he hears. He won't need that. He's going to have an unusual sense of right and wrong, of justice and injustice. And v'shafat b'tzedek dalim, with righteousness, he's going to judge the poor. V'hoshiyar b'mishor, with righteousness, with a straight sense of justice, he will admonish Anvei Oretz, the meek of the earth. Vehika Eretz, I'm not going to say it again, I'm going to tell you now that every phrase over here is full of meaning. Vehika Eretz, he will smite the earth, b'shevet piv. He's not going to need a stick or a staff, his mouth. The words of his mouth are going to be the staff that smites. Ubruach svasav, with the breath that comes out from between his lips, Yamit Rasha, he is going to kill the evil. Vayot Tzedek, righteousness is going to be Ezor Matnav, the belt that is around his loins. Voha Emunah, absolute faith is going to be Ezor Chalatzav, that which girds his body. And here come the three psukim. But you wouldn't love to know to be able to say these psukim ba'al peh. The gor is the ave in keves, the wolf is going to live with the sheep, the nomer in gedi yirbats, and the leopard with the goat yirbats will lie down. You know, an animal that's lying down is roveitz, the egel ukfir umri yardav, a calf, a kfir is a young lion, umri is an animal that's fattened, yardav, all of them are going to live together. V'nar katon no hegbam, and you know who's going to lead them? A young lad is going to lead them. You understand? Lead the leopard and the zeev. Let's see how. Who are the bad ones we have? We have the wolf, the zeev, the nomer, and the kfir in this passage. There are three. And the good ones, of course, the are the Keves, the Egel, and the Gdi and the Meri. Alright? Pasuk 7. Ufor avadov tireno. A cow and a bear are going to graze. Yachtav yir bitzu yaldeyan. They're kindalach, you understand. A little bear. The papa bear is going to be with the cow, but the little bears are going to be with the little calves. The arye kabokar yochal teven, and the lion kabokar, like cattle, will eat straw. The arye. There are no psukim in all of history that were ever written that are as beautiful as these. The description of what will be lost in lava. Of course, we're going to have to understand, does it mean, is it literal? Now we will see that there's a machlokes whether it's literal or it's not literal. That, you know, the safest answer, if I ask a question like that, the safest answer is there's a machlokes. So first of all, chances are that you'll find a difference of opinion. If you don't find one, you can make up a difference of opinion. But it's not simple. The Rambam, of course, says, and we'll see the Rambam. The Rambam says that it's all mashal. It's all mashal. You see, because Yemot HaMashiach, question is, in the days of Mashiach, is there going to be a change in the essential nature of the world? These psukim, if we had to take them literally, are describing not merely a messianic era, but an era of absolute miraculousness. The whole nature of the world has changed. An Aryeh isn't an Aryeh anymore. And the Shagat Aryeh, the roar of the lion, it closed up already. Yeshivat Shagat Aryeh, yeah, okay. That's the, they closed, not every yeshiva closes, but this one closed this week. That's the one by Kela Masiyo Aryeh Deri, Shagat Aryeh. For this to be taken literally, then we have to assume that there's going to be a dramatic change in the nature of the world. Now that's in the days of Mashiach. Now Shmuel, in the Gemara in Brachos, Shmuel says that Yemot HaMashiach, Ein Bein Olam Hazeh Li Yemot HaMashiach, the only difference between this world, meaning the world in history at this moment, and the period of Mashiach, Elo Shivud Malchiyot Bilvad, the only difference is going to be that there will not be Jewish enslavement to the nations of the world. It will be a free world. We will not be beholden or under anybody's reign. Jurisdiction, fine. Which means Shmuel is making a statement that everything is going to be normal. People will plant and people will plow. In other words, therefore, we have to understand when the Gemara says that all sorts of things are going to grow out of the trees of Eretz Yisrael. Does the Gemara mean it literally, or does the Gemara mean it figuratively, that there's going to be a tremendous amount of prosperity and there's going to be abundance? And over here, this is a marshal that nations will not lift up sword against nations. That was a pasuk earlier in Yeshayahu. They will not learn war anymore. So we'll see. Is this literal or is this figurative? V'shiasha, pasuk 8, v'shiasha yonek al chur poten. A child is going to play by the hole of a poten. A poten is a poisonous snake. In other words, he's going to be able to play over there and not be afraid. Va'al mu'urat sif'oni. Mu'ura is like either cave or lair of a sif'oni. A sif'oni is another terrible poisonous snake, by the lair of a snake, Gomul. Gomul is a child who's grown up already and is has been weaned, a child of 2-3 years. Yado hada. He's going to put his hand into the lair and not be afraid that he's going to be bitten. Lo yoreu v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kodshi. There will be no evil nor destruction upon my the entire area of my holy mountain. Of course, we're going to have to know, B'chol Har Kodshi, what does that represent? Does it mean all of Har HaBayit, or does it mean all of Eretz Yisrael? All right, we'll see. Kimala Ha'aretz Deyot Hashem, because the entire world is going to be filled with the knowledge of God, kamayim layam mechasim, as the waters cover the sea. These are the unusual psukim of Tanakh, chapter 11. You can ask me a question about what?
About the description of Mashiach.
Yes.
Just looked up to what it said about Shlomo HaMelech. Yes. Because he's the only one that I can think of who really had all of, a lot of the tunot that are based in Mashiach. So it says that he will have Lev Chacham V'Navon Asher Kamocha V'Lo Haya Lefaneha V'Achareha V'Lo Yakum Kamocha. So how does that relate to the description of Mashiach?
I mean, I can easily take care of that by saying that within the realm of normal history, there will be none like Shlomo. But Tekufat HaMashiach is a, I don't like to use the word, but it's a post-historic period. And in that period, it may very well be that there will be somebody who will be greater than Shlomo. Because the description over here of Mashiach is certainly one who is endowed with qualities nobody else in all of Tanakh, except for Moshe Rabbeinu. Nobody else in all of Tanakh is endowed with the qualities that have now been described for Moshiach. So Shlomo may have been the wisest of all men within the context of history, but Moshiach is post-history, messianic era. Let's read another few psukim so you'll get the whole drift of the chapter. V'hoyah v'yomahu, and it will come to pass on that day, Shodesh Yishai asher omeid l'neis amim, that root that comes out of Yishai will stand as a banner for all nations. Elov goyim yidroshu unto him, nations will seek, they're going to come to him for guidance. V'hayta menuchato kavod, and the place where he will be, that which will be the greatest honor for him is the peace of where he is. They're all going to flow toward him. They're all going to come toward him. Here, I think we have one of the first psukim in Yeshayahu that talks about kibbutz golios, the ingathering of the exile. And it will come to pass on that day, Yosef Hashem shenit yado, God will send out his hands for a second time. Yosef Hashem shenit yado. It's the second time, because the first time that he stretched his hand out was down to Mitzrayim to take Jews out of Egypt. But he's going to stretch his hand out for a second time in history, liknot et she'or amo, to acquire the remnant of his people, asher yishaer, that will remain, may Ashur, umi Mitzrayim, umi Patros, umi Kush, umi Elam, Umishinar, Umechamat, Umeiye Hayam. These are all the names of places and kingdoms, and the Jews that are going to remain at the end of this history from all of those nations, he's going to stretch out his hand again in order to acquire them. The Nosa, and he will lift up Neis Lagoyim. He's going to lift up a banner. The purpose of the banner is that everybody should know, without Yehuda Yekabetz, the diaspora of Yehuda who will gather in. Nidachim and Yefotzim, we will see, mean two different things. May Arba Kanfot Haaretz, from all four corners of the world, God is going to bring Jews back. He's going to stretch out his hand the second time in history in order to acquire his people. So he's going to bring them back. He's going to bring them back. All right, so what will happen when he brings them back? So you'll have all the Yidalach together in one place. So what do you think is going to happen when you're going to have them all together? That was Chudim Etchagin, and you understand, we know how to do that. So he says, Nana, V'sora kin'at Ephraim, V'tzorede Yehuda yikareitu. Kin'at Ephraim, the jealousy that Ephraim has for Yehuda will be removed. In other words, he's going to instill a spirit of Achdut. Of Achdut Lo'umit, you understand. You have to remember, what's today's date? Today's Yud Beis Adar. Right, so this is the day of the Yud Beis, and by the time it says, already we'll have a government, okay? The Sorah Kinas Ephraim, the kinah, the jealousy of Ephraim. Vitzoridei Yehuda yikareitu, and those who cause trouble or who oppress Yehuda will be removed. That means those from Ephraim who oppress Yehuda will be removed. Rashi says a magnificent pshat. According to Chazal, remember there are two Moshiachs. There is a Moshiach ben Yosef and a Moshiach ben David. Ephraim represents Yosef. Yehuda, of course, is ben David. There will be no competition between Moshiach ben Yosef and Moshiach ben David. Ephraim lo yikaneh et Yehuda. Now, the word kinah was used with regard to Ephraim in the first half of the pasuk, and tzoreh with regard to Yehuda. Right? Now it explains what does it mean. Ephraim lo yikaneh. In other words, kinat Ephraim. What kinat Ephraim? So, Ephraim lo yikaneh et Yehuda. Ephraim is not going to be jealous of Yehuda. For Yehuda lo yatzoreh Ephraim, and Yehuda is not going to oppress Ephraim. They're going to fly along the shoulder of Plishtim, which is to the west. But they're going to come to Eretz Yisrael. You know what? I'll read the Rashi over here. You don't have this Rashi in front of you. I'm going to read the Rashi. So, I didn't write it. Just remember it's the Rashi. Ya'ufu, these are the words of Rashi. Ya'ufu v'yarutzu Yisrael. They will fly. Israel will fly and will run Shem Echad, shoulder to shoulder. Al ha'plishtim, against the plishtim. Asher heim b'ma'arov shel Eretz Yisrael, who live to the west of Eretz Yisrael. V'yirvosh et aratzam, and will conquer their land. K'mo derech yiratzchu shema, shem echad. In other words, the ultimate battle when there will be unity between Yehuda and Ephraim is going to be to destroy Plishtim. And Plishtim proverbially are to the west. Where is Plishtim always were? Aza. That was the area of Plishtim. Which means that the final battle, I'm not reading into this pasuk more than Rashi really said. That will be the ultimate struggle. Yachdov Yavozu et Bnei Kedem, together, Yehuda and Ephraim, everybody together, it's all for one and one for all, a united Klal Yisrael, are going to go against Bnei Kedem, those who live to the east. Edom u'Moav, Mishloach Edom. Edom is to the southeast. Edom is to the east of Eilat. Moav is to the east of the Yarden, not far from here. Moav will be, Edom and Moav will be Mishloach Edom. They're just going to stretch out the hand and they will be able to destroy them. Ubnei Ammon, the children of Ammon, also on the other side of the Yarden, Mishma'atam, will be obedient to them. They will listen to the children of Israel. V'hecherim Hashem et l'shon yam Mitzrayim, v'hinif yado al anha'or ba'ayom meruchau, v'hikol l'shivon chalim, v'hidrir bana'olim. Very, very different, difficult passage, but what it basically means is, v'hachrit Hashem et l'shon yam Mitzrayim, God is going to destroy the tongue of this area that is Yam Mitzrayim, the sea near Egypt. Now, both Rashi and the Mitzudas say these waterways that are going to be, so to speak, either destroyed or dried up, is so that the Jews who are being redeemed will be able to cross rivers, seas, and oceans in order to arrive in Eretz Yisrael. Nothing is going to stand in their way. V'hechadim Hashem. So therefore, v'hechadim means removing or destroying. L'shon Yam Mitzrayim, the Nile. It's like a tongue. It's long, and it goes into the sea. V'heinif Yado al Hanahar. God is going to lift his hand against Nahar, which is Hanahar Hagadol? That's Nahar Prat, that's the to the north. To the north. Ba'ayon.
Euphrates,
right. Right. So we have the Euphrates to the north, the Nile to the south. Ba'ayon.
You can compare that to what happened when we were trying to.
Exactly. Exactly. Figuratively, they are. It's the same as the splitting of the Red Sea. But it doesn't have to take place in that kind of a miraculous fashion, because it's not going to happen. Now, if you can cross, if you have planes that can cross the sea, so I might, you know, I might very well, how do you like this? How do you like this? I'm going to say, what do you think? You think the Rebbe Shem gave people the wisdom to build planes for what? So that they should bomb one another? You know what the plane was for? So that there will be planes someday that are going to bring Jews to Eretz Yisrael. That's what it is. So they'll be able to cover across the seas and the oceans. Ba'ayam Rucho. Rashi says this word does not appear anyplace else in Tanakh. And the only way in which he can understand what it means is by its context. And therefore he says Ba'ayam Rucho will be the strength of his spirit. There's going to be a tremendous surge of the Spirit of God that is therefore going to make everything passable, nothing impossible. They will cross to Eretz Yisrael. V'hikol l'shiva v'cholam. He will break him up into seven streams. They're going to be seven places to cross. And the Mepharshim say the seven places to cross are for those who are coming from Ashur, Mitzrayim, Patros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, and Hamat. The seven places that were listed in Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'hidrichba na'olim. And they will be able to step with their shoes and cross these rivers. The Haitam Mesilah, there will be a path L'Shar Amo for the remnant of his people, Asher Yishor Me'Ashur, that will remain from Ashur, Kasher Haital Yisrael B'Yom Aloto Me'eretz Mitzrayim, as there was to the Jewish people on the day that they came out of the land of Egypt. I imagine that the Ashur is being used over here, because in a sense this is a prophecy that is following the destruction of Ashur. What were the last two psukim in chapter 10? The destruction of Ashur, that God is going to cut them down. And I think there's also something, take a look at, listen to the poetry. The Haitam Mesila L'Sha'or Amo Asher Yisha'er Me Ashur Kasher. There isn't something poetic about that? Asher, Yishaer, Me Ashur, Kasher. Just as there was to Israel, B'yom Alotom Yared Mitzrayim. So here, in this chapter, we have a magnificent description of two things. First half of the chapter describes the person Moshiach. The second half of the chapter describes the period of Moshiach. What are the historic events that will take place during that period of time? But for all of these events to take place, you need this great personage. The Rambam, of course, toward the very end of Mishneh Torah, the Rambam says that Moshiach is one of the tasks of Moshiach is mekabetz nidchei Yisrael. He gathers in the dispersed of Israel. Now, there are those who can be gathered in even before Moshiach comes. Living proof, us. But there will be yet the others. V'shav Hashem kevot shvutcha v'nichamecha v'shav v'kibetzcha. He's going to go out there again and gather you in from all of the nations where you are. Alright, that's chapter 11. Unbelievable chapter. Every pasuk in this chapter is extremely meaningful. I've said that a few times. It's alright, it bears saying again. Now, I think that you successfully, at least to prepare you for next week, you successfully have the sheets in front of you. Now, of course, what you have to do with the sheets in front of you is you have to put them in proper order, right? If you don't have them in proper order, you're going to be in serious trouble. It should start It should start with chapter. Yeah, I come. You know what? Somebody took all of my first. All my first sheets. In other words, the first sheet is Kuf Pei Dalet, Kuf Pei Hei. Alright? Then you take the next one and put the two together. So you have, yeah. So on the first side, you have Kuf Pei Dalet, Kuf Pei Hei, Kuf Pei Vav, Kuf Pei Zayin, Kuf Pei Ches, Kuf Pei Tet. That's the way you are supposed to hold them. I will just take a look at the. We don't have anybody banging down the doors yet, so we can take another few minutes. They're supposed to. Everything has to have two sides. If it doesn't have two sides, then it. Well, my machine doesn't always work perfectly. Okay. Just another few minutes. Just another few minutes. V'yotza choter migez ha'yishai v'netza misharoshav yifre. Now, Rashi raises an issue that we will have to discuss in Yetz Hashem next week. Rashi says the following. We'll take a look at Rashi. V'yotza choter migez ha'yishai. From the context of the Rashi, you're going to see what's bothering him. What's bothering him is, what's chapter 11 doing after chapter 10? We've just been talking about the destruction of Sancheriv and Ashur at the walls of Yerushalayim. What's chapter 11 with its post history? What's it doing over here? So Rashi says, "V'im Tomru," if you're going to say, "Hare Tanchumin L'Chizkiyo V'Amo," that in chapter 10 there is consolation for Chizkiyo and his people. Shelo Yiplu B'Yado, they're not going to fall into the hands of Ashur. Ashur is going to fall by the gates of Yerushalayim. That's very consoling for Chizkiyo and the people who are inside the gates of Yerushalayim. They're going to be saved. But wait a minute, what happened to the 80% of Klal Yisrael that have been taken out into exile, Bachlach and Chavor? What great consolation and what great miracle is the destruction of Ashur for them? What's it going to do for them? So it says, "V'im tomru harei tanchum in the Chizkiyo." If you're going to say, we have a consolation for the Chizkiyo, Va'amo and his people, shelo yiplu v'yodo, they're not going to fall into the hands of Ashur. Umat tehei al agola, what's going to be with the exile? Asher heglo bachlach v'chavor, those are the places in the horei choshech to which he exiled them. Shema ovad zivram, have they lost all hope? Lo ovad. So chapter 11 is coming to tell you all hope is not lost. Sheyavo melech mishichenu v'yigolei. Our King Mashiach is going to come and redeem them. So Rashi obviously has raised the problem. The problem is, what is chapter 11 doing after chapter 10? It seems like a chapter that's just been plunked down over here out of nowhere. If anything, it should either be the beginning of a sefer or the end of a sefer, the last chapter of a sefer, the last chapter of history. But that's not where it is. It appears right over here in the middle. So therefore, Rashi's approach, and there's going to be an approach of the Malvim, an extremely important Hashkafaric approach of the Malvim, which we'll save for next week. Some parts of this Malvim we studied over a year ago. But basically, Rashi is saying that chapter 10 tells us the salvation of Chizkiyo and Yerushalayim and the people, and for Jews that are already off in exile, don't think that they have lost Ovad Sivram. Sivram. Do you know where the word Sivram? I translated it as Ovad Sivram, their hope is lost. Where did I get the word Sivram to mean hope? Did I make this up? Excellent. Now, but more than that, you should have given me where the word appears even more often. The word that she used is a pasuk in Rut, when Naomi tells Orpah and Ruth to go back. Because what are you going to wait for? You're going to wait yet for me to have children so that you shall be Halohein tisaberna? Are you going to hope for that yet? What do we say in Ashrei every day? Ein eichol eilecha yisaberu. What does yisaberu mean? Ein eichol, the eyes of all. To you they look with hope. Yes, there the yisaberu is with a sin, but in Aramaic it is with a samach. And I think it may even appear in Yecheskel with a samach. Okay? Huh? No, that's Shever. That's the difference. That's why I said there it's a sin. So the sin, that you find a lot of places in the Nach where a sin and a samach are used interchangeably. I can find other words like that. But it comes from Halohein to Saberno or Einechol Eilechu Yisaberu. So therefore, Sever Panim Yafot? I don't know how to... I don't... Hope, okay. I mean, now that you mention it, I don't know what the word Sever means by Sever Panim Yafot. That's very interesting. So maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. That it means, you know, looking at somebody with a smile, optimistically. In other words, instead of having a sour look on your face, oh God, this is the last person I want to have walking into the house right now. Okay? So, Sefer Panim Yafot, like you were hoping and waiting for this person to come. Okay. To be continued in Yitzhak Hashem next week, Chag Sameach. Some cow and all of the rest. There should only be good news for Klal Yisrael.